We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, time for another edition of your Aggies All the Way podcast, where you take a look at what's going on with Utah State Athletics. Also, great opportunity as always to catch up with some of our former student athletes that have played here at Utah State, and a guy who's still giving it a go at the NFL and making it happen and keeping the dream alive. Pat Scales, kind enough to join us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, we're excited to chat with you. Member of the Chicago Bears, and we're going to talk about your NFL career here in a second, but I wanted to talk a little bit about your career at Utah State and talk about the decisions that led you to playing for the Aggies.
Yeah, sure. I chose Utah State. I didn't have any scholarship opportunities coming out of high school. And so I did all my visits to the local schools who recruited me and stuff like that. And something just clicked with me when I visited the campus and the stadium and everything at Utah State. It just felt right and it felt like home. And I saw an opportunity and I liked it and went to Utah State.
So Weber High grad, right?
Correct. Yep.
And at what point at Utah State did you realize that maybe long snapping is something that that could work for you?
Right away, because that was part of the recruiting process too. Because I was a tight end in high school and a long snapper, and that was definitely something that Utah State was interested in before because I could snap. So right away, I knew that could be a ticket to do, at least see the field right away or maybe within a few years or something like that. And so I worked on that and started trying to perfect it and get better every day at it. So,
You were when you signed and you played at Utah State, it was during some of the rough years. You did get a play for Gary Anderson. How quickly did you think that Gary was going to be the guy that was going to help turn this thing around?
It was pretty evident right off the bat. There was an energy about the building and about Gary himself when he walked in. I mean, he's a great coach. He's a player's coach. He listens to his players. He also demands a lot out of the players. And he demands respect, and he demands that his players play the game the right way and do everything the right way. And so right away he came in and started making positive changes. And maybe he even got rid of a few players that didn't really fit how he wanted to coach and how he wanted to build the program. So, I mean, it was like right off the bat, you could tell like, well, this guy's different. This guy wants to win. And so it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed my time playing for Gary.
How much pride do you take knowing that you were part of those teams that helped turn things around there at Utah State?
A lot, actually.
And, good.
And me and I still keep in touch with our kicker and our punter. And, you know, we always joke, we'll hang around and just shoot the breeze or whatever. But we always joke, we're like, hey, we built that place, man. We laid the foundation for that place, jokingly. But no, I mean, everybody had a hand in it. And it's fun to watch now, man. They're rolling. I love watching Aggie football.
So I got to imagine you're pretty excited when Coach Anderson got the job back at Utah State and returned there.
Absolutely. That was music to my ears. I knew what he had done in the 4 or 5 years that he was there. When I played for him, then he came back. I was like, oh yeah, I love this. Let's go.
So what are your, a couple of your favorite moments as a player at Utah State?
Favorite moment. Well, the day that I got put on scholarship, I'll never forget that. That was really cool. That was a goal of mine.
How long did that take? What year were you?
It was after my redshirt freshman year. So okay. I'd done two years, and then they awarded me a scholarship. So that was cool. That was special. And then my other favorite moment was the first time we beat BYU at home, and the crowd stormed the field, and it was like something out of a movie. It was crazy. But that was amazing. That was my other favorite moment for sure.
Well, probably as a kid who grew up in Utah, you knew how special that was because – I mean, it had been since, what, 1993, and since Utah State had beaten BYU, and I was at the stadium that game, and I just, you remember just like, finally, these guys are off the schneid, and it's that losing streak is over.
Yeah, and it was electric, man. The way the whole game worked out for us and stuff, like, it was meant to be. We were going to beat them for sure, and then it happened. It was just like, this is crazy, man. That was cool. That was really special. We worked our tails off and prepared, and got the dub because they had her number for so long, like you said, since like 93 or something. So it felt good to get that win.
Did you guys go into that game knowing you felt pretty good about getting that W?
Yeah, for sure. That's what makes Gary so special. Is he knows how to motivate. He knows how to get the most out of every player, and he gets you to buy in. And it was cool to watch that process going from Brent Guy to Gary. The players, it was just like slowly but surely, everyone just started buying in. You could see it as soon as it happened. Everyone's mind frame just switched, and we all started firing on all cylinders. So it was cool. But yeah, no, we definitely went out with the intentions to win, and we did.
What's that? I want to back up a little bit to your other favorite moment. What's it like when you call mom and dad up on the phone and say, hey, guess what? I just got a scholarship. Tuition's taken care of from here on out.
It was special. It was very special. You know, funny you asked that. I actually don't even remember. I know that I told my parents, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But I don't even remember that specific conversation. I remember going into the coach's office, and you know, they said, "Hey, Pat, we love what you're doing. We're gonna put you on scholarship." And I just remember, I didn't like blackout, but I was just like in my own head almost, and I was thinking like, "This is so cool. I'm on scholarship." I'm like, you know what I mean? That was like the goal out of high school. I wanted a scholarship so bad. And then it didn't happen, but it was, it was cool. A day I'll never forget.
Well, nowadays they make a big production out of it and do the video and in front of the meetings. Yeah. All you had was like, hey, coach wants to see you. Hey, congratulations, got a scholarship. Now get out of here.
Exactly. Yeah, even recruiting. I mean, shoot, they bring the kids in, they put them in the pads, and put the parents in jerseys and stuff like that. I'm like, Jesus, hey, I got to watch a game. That was kind of my recruiting process.
Hey, just looking at the stadium and the improvements that have been made there since you started at Utah State till since what they've got now. I mean, it's almost a completely different setup there.
Oh, more than completely. Yeah, I was there with the old locker room.
Yeah.
So I remember everything. And then we spent the 1 year at the indoor facility. That was our locker room. And then finally the building was built. And it's immaculate. That weight room is unbelievable. The training room is spectacular. Everything about it, man, it's first class all the way.
So when you wrap up at Utah State, a lot of long snappers don't get drafted. So you probably anticipated that draft day wasn't going to be, your name wasn't going to be called, but What was the process like in trying to land with the team and trying to make your mark in the NFL?
Gotcha. It was a long road. It took me 3.5 years to actually make an active roster. And you're right, I was not drafted coming out. It was the year of the lockout, too. So
Wow.
The teams didn't have OTAs or anything like that. So coming out as a rookie, especially undrafted, you're already behind as far as knowledge of the game and everything like that. So went to training camp, did my best. Self-admittedly, I didn't do good enough to win that job. And so they let me go at the end of training camp. And then obviously I was a free agent again. And once you're, especially as a specialist, once you're in the free agency world, it's almost like a workout circuit. Every week teams work guys out, depending on if a punter is sore or a kicker is underperforming or whatever. They want to get guys in. They want to see guys. They want to know who's who type thing. And so I was blessed. I was part of those workouts, and I got called quite a bit to do a lot of workouts over those 3 years. And so my name just kept staying relevant because anytime a team works a guy out in the off or during season, they have to report it to the other 31 teams.
Huh.
And so every workout I got is kind of like marketing for yourself, right? So every workout you do is kind of broadcast to the other teams that this guy's out there doing workouts. So I just stuck with it, kept my head down, kept grinding, and fortunately for me, it paid off.
So I want to take you back to December 21st, 2014. According to the old Wikipedia page, that's the day you made your NFL debut. You're playing for the Ravens. You're taking on the Houston Texans. When you put on that NFL uniform with your name on it and you walk out onto the field, what's that like?
To back up a little bit, I'll back up to earlier in the week. I was working for a logistics company, Worldwide Technologies. They're based out of St. Louis, but they have a warehouse in Dallas. And I had a family friend that helped me out and helped me get the job. And they were super supportive and very cool about letting me pursue my NFL dream. I just had to give them as much notice as possible, which isn't much, but they were fine with it. So that was great. So I actually left work a smidge early that day at like 3:30 or 4, and I was actually on my way to pick up my wife, surprise her at work, and take her out to dinner or something. And I got a call from Maryland area code on the way to get her, and I was like, "What is this?" they call me. It was a Tuesday. It was raining. This is all very vivid. And they're like, "Hey, our snapper's down. We need you." I was like, "Okay, cool." So they got me a flight that night. Flew out. Practiced with the team. Fast forward to Sunday, we're playing in Houston, and it blew my mind. It was just, I remember sitting on the bench in like the third quarter. It was like my leg kicked up, and I was just trying to take it all in. I was like, I was in a warehouse working on Tuesday, and now I'm playing in the NFL on Sunday. Like, this is absolutely wild.
So was the game in Houston?
Yeah, it was in Houston.
Mm-hmm. So you're already in Texas. You go to Baltimore, practice, and then come back to Texas to actually play the game.
Yep, wife drove down and her family drove down and saw the game too. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome. I mean, it's an incredible story. And then you have an opportunity to sign with the Chicago Bears in mm-hmm. November of the following year. And then you've just kind of been hanging out with the Bears ever since. What is it about that organization that's felt like it's been a good fit for you?
It's a great organization from the ownership all the way down. They do a tremendous job of running the place and running the team. It's very family friendly, very, very family oriented. It's a great place to play football, and I'm just blessed to be here. I love it here. Family loves it here. It's a great time. Love Chicago.
And it seems like it's just, for a lot of players, it's about the right fit, is it not? I mean, just finding a way to get into the right team with the right system, the right coach that believes in you. And if you can connect on that, then you can carve out some years for yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely, and especially as a specialist or specifically a long snapper, I was just trying to buy my time until I found that team. Because most teams, they're the one of two teams. They either just get a new guy every couple of years because it saves them money, or they find a guy and they don't want to mess with it. He's got a good thing going, and they just let him keep going. And I've been lucky enough to be in that situation right here. They've stuck with me for a number of years, and I couldn't be happier snapping football for them.
So I've heard coaches say that long snapper, that's the one guy you don't want his name called on a game on either Saturday or Sunday, because if you hear his name, usually it's because he did something wrong. What's it like playing that position? Because it can be a bit of a lonely position at times.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, there's some stress involved, especially game-winning field goals and stuff like that, or shoot, even backup punts in the end zone. No, you're exactly right. You don't want to know the long snapper's name, and if you do, it's for a bad reason. So it's definitely humbling. I mean, it keeps you on your toes knowing I'm one snap away from possibly not having a job, right? So
yeah.
you just gotta switch gears in your mind and think that way, and just realize, you know, before I snap, if I'm ever nervous, I tell myself, I'm like, what are you nervous for? You've done this a million times. You've done a million field goal snaps. You've done a million punt snaps. You're nothing to be nervous about. But I just try to clear the mind and then let the body take over and do it.
Just muscle memory at that point. Just something you've done over and over, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
So if there are any, and I admit I'm a Broncos fan. I'm an AFC guy. So I don't watch a lot of Bears games, but are there some memorable kicks, some memorable game winners that you can share with us, or that come to mind when you think about memorable plays you've been out on the field for?
You mentioned the Broncos last year. We had a game winning field goal against the Broncos.
Yeah, that's so. I tried to block that one out. Yeah, that was a long one too. We had that game won.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I think it was, I don't know how many seconds time ran out as we were kicking it. I remember that. I remember my heart beating out of my chest too. As much as you prepare, you can never fully engulf yourself in that moment. You know, you can't recreate it in practice. You can do your best to. Actually, last year we were doing this thing called Augusta Silence, is what they called it. And they would send just me, our holder, his name's Pat, too, and the kickers that were competing for the job. It was just us three, whoever was kicking the ball. We would go out on the field, and everybody would line around the field, offense on one side, defense on one side, head coaches there, all the position coaches, all the GM, or the GM, all the scouts, the trainers, everybody, and nobody's allowed to talk. And so you're just... And it was the most nervous I'd been, except for like those moments in the game, right?
Yeah.
That was the best recreation of those moments. I guess the silence kicks. But we're not doing those this year, so.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you gotta socially distance now. So what is camp like, and what is it? No really off season, no OTAs dealing with this virus. What's that been like trying to get ready for a season?
It's been different. It's obviously, just like everything else in the world right now, it's different. It's different than any year, any training camp I've been a part of. But it's kind of like a slow ramp-up process. So right now, we're finishing a phase of it that is pretty much like a mix between our off-season workouts and a normal practice. And so, like, offense can go against air, and defense can go against air and stuff like that. We can't necessarily line up against each other, but we can wear helmets. So the rules are kind of funky. Our building, they've done a phenomenal job of spacing everything out and trying to keep everything regulated per the NFL, per the CDC, per everything. It's spectacularly clean. Our meetings room, we took away our indoor facility and just made it one gigantic meeting room so we can all still meet as a team rather than on Zoom meetings and stuff like that. So it's different, man. We get tested every day. We have these trackers that we wear on us so we know who's in proximity, closer or, you know, more than 10 minutes or whatever. So if somebody tests positive, they can look at the trackers and see who is with who and that whole sort of thing. So it's kind of crazy. But as far as the game, and the game hasn't changed. Practice hasn't really changed. So that part is nice. You know what you're getting on the football field always.
Well, Pat, we appreciate it, man. This has been a lot of fun. Great conversation, great opportunity to catch up with you. And I'm sure whenever you get a chance, you're watching as many Utah State games as possible, right?
Absolutely. Go Aggies.
I love it, man. Well, hey, good luck to you, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.